Check. Good morning and welcome to the November 9th, 2017 meeting of the San Luis Obispo County Planning Commission. Madam Secretary, may we have roll call?
Commissioner Harrison.
Here.
Commissioner Moultari.
Here.
Commissioner Hawkins.
Here.
Chairman Campbell.
Here.
Please let it be noted, Commissioner Brown is absent.
Would you please stand and join me for the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. At this point in time, I will open the public comment period. Comments that do not pertain to today's agenda can be of any item. And I have a speaker slip for Mr. Greening. Eric, you want to come forward?
Good morning. I am Eric Greening, and something I've been nagging about for a long time has finally happened.
She's here.
Draft environmental impact report on the Cal Poly Master Plan is now out, available for review. Comments due by the 20th. I am assuming the planning department will be studying it closely. And one thing that I am discovering, I'm still early in the review, and there's a tremendous amount of information. I think there's a lot that is praiseworthy just in terms of the information that has been pulled together. But you're not necessarily going to find the important pieces in the EIR itself. Go to the appendices, and you'll find a lot more there, a lot of what backs up the statements or maybe doesn't back up the statements in the EIR. I still have some real questions about the greenhouse gas emissions as a Class 3 impact. But the other main area where I have questions right now is it just doesn't make sense to me not to allow city and RTA buses to circulate through the campus if there are roads on which wheeled vehicles, including campus shuttles, roll. Disrupting the transit service doesn't make any sense at all to me. But that said, we will have a month or so to dig into this. And again, I would encourage the staff to study it and to not ignore the appendices. There's a tremendous amount of transportation data in there, among other things. But I would suggest also reading a separate document that isn't part of this process, the greenhouse gas inventory done for the campus. It found that 44% of the emissions were from the buildings. And so I just don't see how doubling the buildings can be offset by any savings in transportation, even if the transportation diminishes, which it might or might not, depending on people's travel patterns and living patterns. Before my time is up, I wanted to change the subject and ask a question that might be coverable during planning staff updates. My understanding with the Los Politas Quarry is that the process was restarted in some way. In other words, we went through a scoping process, but then that was more or less voided. So are we going to go through another scoping process? What is the likely time on that? What that has already been done will be used or not used? And again, I would simply caution against any leaning on a non-certified EIR for any future environmental review because it's only hearsay, not having been certified or tested. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Greening. Having no more slips for speakers, I will now close public comment and go to commission business. Planning staff updates. Mr. McMaster, please.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the commission. Steve McMaster's planning staff. So I'm going to update you on a few things, and then I'm going to ask Brandy to give an update on the cannabis ordinance status, since that seems to be a subject of a lot of time and effort by staff and the board and the public. So you've got one one commission meeting left after this one for the year, and that's on December 14th. On that agenda, there are a number of items. New wireless communications facility north of Paso Robles, a self-storage facility south of the San Luis Obispo Airport, an update to the Cambria Transfer of Development Credit Program, and a conditional use permit for a new, this is a new hotel in Napomo. There's also a guest house that's requesting to be larger than the requirements. That's a fairly small one, and that is near Santa Margarita. Looking towards your first meeting in January, which would be January 11th, we are already, there are items starting to be placed on that agenda. We have, it looks like, two wireless facilities, one in North County, one in South County, one near Branch Road, Union Road, and one, on North Oak Glen in South County. And then there's also a general plan amendment request to allow vehicle service and repair to the listed uses for a corner near Wellsona, or actually for the Wellsona area. That is as far as ahead as we're looking. So far, nothing is being scheduled for the second meeting in January. Just a real quick update from what I know for the Las Palitas quarry. The project description was revised, and the county recirculated a revised request for proposals. They had gone through that process once already, and we're evaluating those proposals currently. Whether or not there's an additional scoping meeting is not been determined. Typically, when a project is revised to be smaller, we don't necessarily go back through the scoping process, because most of the comments we've heard are for a larger project versus the other way going the other way around. So, but I do not think that's been determined finally yet as well. And with that, I'll turn it over to Brandy for a cannabis update.
Good morning, Brandy Cummings, County Planning and Building staff. So since your board your commission made a recommendation to the board on the cannabis ordinance, we've had four Board of Supervisor meetings, and we're still not done. We have one more meeting scheduled at the end of this month on November 27th. Our most recent meeting was this Tuesday, November 7th, and the board did finish their direction to staff regarding changes. They've taken approximately 40 straw votes to change aspects of the ordinance that your commission has recommended. So on our meeting on the 27th, we'll be presenting what that language actually looks like in the ordinance, and then they will be opening that up for public comment again. Among other things, a few of the tentative straw votes, the way it looks like it's going now, is no dispensaries that are open to the general public, so operating on a delivery-only model. Various restrictions regarding minimum parcel size for cultivation activities. Most recently, a tentative vote to require all exempt activities occur indoors, so no outdoor exemptions. No volatile manufacturing. Those are probably the bigger ones. But as I said, there were approximately 40 changes that we're making to this draft. And we'll give you a more complete update after the 27th to see what our final draft or our final ordinance comes out looking like. Did you have any specific questions?
Any questions of commissioners? Go ahead.
How many outdoors did you say? Growers.
Oh, so that was the other kind of bigger change. The board did tentatively vote to allow those folks who registered under our urgency ordinance as a co-op or collective. They would be the only ones able to obtain a land use permit for at least the first year, and there were 141 of those.
41. Thank you.
Thank you, Stephanie. Okay. We'll move on to the consent agenda. We have three items: prior minutes, a conformity report, and the gray extension. Are there any items that commissioners like to see removed for further discussion? Comments on the items for approval? I have one, and that's on the Gray extension. If you read carefully, you'll see that it actually expired yesterday, and I think we ought to, maybe council can help a little here, we ought to put in our hopeful approval, it looks like it will be, that we're aware of that fact that it did expire yesterday, and I don't want to have trouble down the road for them because of a glitch in the expiration date.
Ben North County Council, and as long as the request for an extension is made prior to the expiration of the map, you can act on it at any point, and there's no issue with that fact.
Good. Okay. Clears that up. Good. I'll entertain a motion on the consent agenda.
I'd move approval of the consent agenda.
Second.
Been moved and seconded. Roll call vote, please.
Commissioner Moultrie?
Yes.
Commissioner Hawkins?
Yes.
Commissioner Harrison?
Yes.
Chairman Campbell?
Here. Yes. We're here already, aren't we? Listening to you too much here. All right. We'll move along to the public hearings. Ramona, would you please introduce the first one?
Hearing item number 4 is a request by Vault Vehicle Storage, LLC, for a conditional use permit. County file number DRC 2017-00020. Supervisorial District Number 4, Project Manager Brandy Cummings.
Hey, Brandy, do we have any ex parte on this from the commissioners?
I actually have visited the site when I took the tour with the Woodlands before the last meeting. We actually went down and looked at this site also.
I had a comment, but I guess that not in that one. Okay, please continue.
Good morning, Brandy Cummings. The request before you today is a request for a conditional use permit to allow the construction of an indoor recreational vehicle storage facility with office space in the front. The project would be located in the business park within the Woodlands Village. The business park is located southwest in the project vicinity. It's a 19-acre business park, and currently there is a office, a warehouse and distribution center, and a 32,000-square-foot public storage facility currently existing in the business park. The project request before you today encompasses 3 individual lots, collectively one site. They are currently vacant. Our aerial photo here is a little out of date. That temporary modular office has since been removed, so project site is currently vacant. The project would allow the construction of 6 storage buildings across the 3 parcels, so 2 on each parcel. It would encompass 77 storage units for recreational vehicles, such as RVs. There also would be office space at the front of each of these structures along Professional Parkway. You can see up here. 15 parking spaces would be required, and that would be for the office space. The recreational vehicle storage does not require parking in and of itself. The project does not include a caretaker's unit, and the site has been preliminarily graded with Phase 1A, which was the first phase of Woodlands, but it'll be final graded as part of this project, some touch-up grading. Here we have the perspective of what the project would look like from Professional Parkway. The applicant did provide an alternative color scheme based on the request of the Homeowners Association, and that is what this slide shows here. The structures would be under 22 feet in height, which does meet our height requirement of 35 feet. And currently there's no signs proposed with this project, but if signs are proposed in the future, we would evaluate that with the construction permit.
I should have waited, but do you have a picture of what they were proposing, similar to the one you've got here, before the homeowners came in with this?
Sure, proposal? So that would be this perspective here. The homeowners asked for kind of a warmer color palette. It's kind of more washed out in tone. We don't have a specific condition regarding specifics of colors, so that's something staff will evaluate when the construction permits come in. Okay, so the business park in Woodlands does have a standard that up to 80,000 square feet floor area for storage facilities. So as I mentioned, there is a 32,000 square foot public storage facility existing. And as condition, this project would take up the remaining 48,000 square feet of storage space, public storage space in the business park. So any future applications or development within the business park would not be public storage in nature. And with that, staff is recommending approval of the project. The environmental determination was reliant on the previous EIRs that were prepared for the Woodlands Village. And if you have any questions, I'm available.
Thank you, Brandy. Commissioner Moultrie.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just a couple of quick questions. One, could you go back to your aerial photo, which is out of date? And I just want to be clear, to the bottom of the picture is where the storage units are now. Is that right? Is there? And I guess my two questions are the treatment of the I'm turned around now in terms of north and south, but I think the north elevation and no, the north that one too. I think that would be the west elevation. That's north.
This would be north, and okay. Then this would be west.
Okay, so then the east elevation and the north elevations. The north elevation was one of those was not provided in the packet, and I think it's just going to be a big blank wall.
See if I can pull those up for you.
Okay, maybe the applicant can answer that too. I'm just concerned to make sure that the view, there's a big grade differentiation that I can see, that the view from where the houses ultimately are, it doesn't have a particularly good view of that blank wall, and that the setback from that north, because that's just going to be a big blank wall too.
Mm-hmm.
Is sufficient so that whatever next comes in has enough room to have some treatment so that it's not just staring at, you know, a few hundred feet of blank.
Yeah, the applicant did submit a preliminary landscaping plan, but that'll be reviewed in more detail with the construction permits. But I think the slide that Jay has up here on the screen helps show what you're speaking to.
Jay Johnson, planning staff, Mr. Chairman, members of the commission. On the slide, this is from the 2B project, and so the three parcels that you're considering today are on the very left-hand edge of this screen.
Right.
And so to the east of that is where the blank walls would be, and this is an open space parcel that will have a drainage basin and vineyards planted in it one day. And it, as Commissioner Moultrie suggested, it does slope down from these future houses down to the backside of those storage units. So if your commission is interested in addressing that visual aspect, our recommendation would be to approach that from the landscape plan and have the applicant add to that the landscaping strip in the back shrubs that will break up that view of those buildings.
Right. And likewise on the north side too, the applicants can probably speak to that. Thanks.
I don't know how this might affect our work today, but Public Works is requesting information hold be placed until the applicant provides following documents for Public Works considerations. Is that something that's been handled that we have to include in our comments here or what? Can you help us out?
Sure. Glenn Marshall with County Public Works. No, the applicant did submit the required information. That was our initial public hold.
Okay,
request.
Good.
Thank
Just
you.
Going through everything, I saw that. Any further questions or comments of staff?
Once this built, those people up there in those houses aren't going to be able to even see the buildings or very little of them, correct? Because that sloping, gentle sloping part you're talking about is almost straight off.
Yeah, once the grading for phase 2B is done, it will be a slope difference.
How much?
Looks like to be in the order of 12 to 15 feet. So the houses would be 12 to 15 feet higher than the the buildings.
So that open space, they're planning on grading that down quite a bit more?
They'll be contouring it so that, let's put this back up. They'll be contouring it to accommodate the most important feature of the grading is this basin here.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is where the manufactured slopes appear from these houses here. So, you know, that's where I estimated there's 12 to 15 feet between these homes and the business lots to the west.
So each one of the lines represents 1 foot?
That's typical on this. It could be, it's hard for me to read, and I hadn't looked at this. It could be 2 feet. If it's 2 feet, then it could be 20 to 30 feet difference. But just having known the project, it will be the houses. It's typical on the Woodlands Village that the houses are at a higher elevation than the nearby open mm-hmm. space in the nearby areas for marketing reasons and for drainage. So, again, it would still be our recommendation to we can address this well with
from this picture, trust. Where's the well that's out there?
There are wells. I'm getting there. Okay. The wells are, I believe, down in this area, and then there's an important well up in this area north of Via Concha.
Yeah, I was talking about the well that's down close to the sewer plant, northeast of the sewer plant, in that almost flat area.
I can answer that better while we're taking public testimony. I can look at the
fine.
We have some other slides.
Fine. Good. Any further questions? Then I'll call upon an applicant or representative thereof. Please come forward and introduce yourself, please.
Hello, my name is Scott Baker, and I am a partner in the Vault Project and the applicant. And I've reviewed the staff report, and everything looks agreeable to us, and would be happy to try to answer any questions that you might have for us.
Yes.
Thank you. So I thought that 6,000 square feet of office space was mm-hmm. a lot for a storage facility. Can you speak to how many employees you have and what goes on in the office, and if there would be, I think there's something in the plans that say that it might be storage area in the office as well.
Yeah, it wasn't clearly defined in the staff report, but the office space is for rent.
Oh.
It would be we're going to occupy one of the smaller office buildings, approximately 700 square feet, and then the other buildings are for rent for businessmen.
For other businesses.
Other
I
businesses,
see.
Yeah. That's we cool. saw that need in the area. That
great. I had one other question for you, but now I can't remember.
Okay.
Oh, I do remember. The project is conditioned to remove 174 square feet.
Right.
Where are you taking that out?
Well, we'll probably take possibly like 6 inches out of the front of
gotcha.
One of the buildings. One of the key elements in RV storage is to have enough room for the vehicles to get in and out. So we were trying to maximize all the available square footage left in the storage component. And so that's how we came up with that. But we'll be able to just shorten the stall length up in one of the buildings.
Great, thank you.
Commissioner Harrison?
Are you going to have all three of these lots the same height, or are you going to stair step them like they are now?
They will be at the existing elevations, so we'll be building retaining walls between each lot, and probably, they will be at the existing
okay. They'll be stepped the same way they are now, so you won't have one very tall wall at the north end.
Yeah, right, right. Okay. Yeah, there's one grade that's exceptionally steep.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's all.
Are there any further questions of
I just have a question for staff now. With the applicant's information that the offices will be rented, does that change the parking demand because it's no longer specifically office space for the recreational vehicle storage?
No, our general parking requirement for office space in general is 1 per 400 square feet.
Thank you.
Further questions? Seeing none, then I will open public comment. However, I do not have any speaker slips, so if there are anyone from this area that wishes to speak, you'll have to grab a little brown paper. Well, seeing none, I'll close public comments. Make it easier on us today, aren't you? Any further questions or comments from staff or the applicant? Brandy, you have any further?
Nope, we're good unless you have any other questions.
Yeah, but I didn't give you much time to do your research, did I? On the well.
Mr. Chairman, we're still searching.
It doesn't matter. I know who the well is.
Okay.
Okay.
But I do have, I think I have one other question.
Go ahead, Mr. Harrison.
On the color, you're just going to let them decide what color? You're not going to put a requirement that it be any specific color, right?
There's no specific requirement in the conditions currently, but when the building permits come in, we evaluate it and make sure it's compatible with the neighborhood.
Okay.
Commissioner Molteri.
I just want to be clear that in the conditions of approval, we reference the treatment of those blank walls on the north and east sides, because I do think that the backyards of those houses are going to be able to look down onto this.
Did you look at it?
Yeah.
Yeah, we can edit condition 4 to mention that.
All right.
Okay. Thanks.
Any further discussion?
Mr. Chairman, just quick language on condition 4A for the last point raised by Commissioner Molteri. We could say the landscape, the second sentence in 4A, the landscape shall provide for screening that adequately breaks up the view of the project from the Entrada Professional Parkway and neighboring properties to the north and east, and where applicable, Highway 1.
All right.
Is the applicant okay with that?
Yes.
Okay. I will entertain a motion, Mr. Harris.
Okay, I'll make a motion that the Planning Commission approve conditional use permit DRC 2017-00020 based on the findings listed in Exhibit A and the conditions listed in Exhibit B.
There a second to that motion?
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. May we have a roll call, Ramona?
Commissioner Harrison?
Yes.
Commissioner Molteri?
Yes.
Commissioner Hawkins?
Yes.
Chairman Campbell?
Yes. That motion is carried and approved. Thank you, gentlemen.
Mr. Chair, may I request a 5-minute break?
You may have a 5-minute break.
Thank you.
Check, check. Thank you. We'll reconvene then to our last hearing item, number 5. And
ex parte.
I will ask for any ex parte on the Southern California gas proposal.
Yes, Mr. Chair. I spoke with Tim Mahoney, a representative of SoCal Gas, about the locations and what the facilities would look like.
Commissioner Harrison?
I met with Tim Mahoney and discussed the application, the locations, and what they would look like.
And I likewise had a phone conversation with Tim Mahoney and pretty have a good understanding what they're doing. So with that, we'll move on. You have a comment, Mr. McMasters?
I do, and that I just would like to say that before James starts this starts the presentation that this is his last scheduled presentation of his career due to his impending retirement. So this caps off 33 years, and I hope he doesn't screw it up.
Boy, oh boy. You're on the bubble now. You're on the bubble.
Chairman Campbell,
yes,
would
ma'am.
You like me to introduce the item?
Yes, please.
Item number 5 is a request by SoCalGas for a development plan coastal development permit, county file number DRC 2016-00122, supervisorial districts 2 and 3, project manager James Caruso.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the board, members of the commission, James Caruso, Department of Planning and Building. And as an aside, I was calculating today that in my 33-year career, I have probably have almost 1,000 public hearings under my belt. And so I hope I have learned something, maybe not, and I think I've discovered why I'm retired. So this is an application by SoCal Gas Company. Southern California Gas is moving towards automated meter reading, like a lot of the utilities are, and this project is in support of that movement. 21 locations for these new poles, all in the public right-of-way. 21 locations aren't, of course, where isn't their complete project. These are the locations where they were not able to co-locate on an existing facility. So they needed to install new facilities, new wooden poles. Each of the installations is very similar to one another. It consists of 29-foot-tall wooden poles supporting a data collection unit on top. It's part of, as I mentioned, the advanced meter communication device. And these are the locations where co-location was not possible. And you'll probably have heard from Mr. Mahoney that due to the interesting requirements in the coastal zone, they actually have to come to your commission for approval of a coastal development permit and conditional use permit. Inland, they were able to do this without discretionary land use permit approval. The applicant conducted some extensive public outreach with the, especially with the North Coast and Cayucas Citizens Advisory Councils. They reviewed each location in those communities with those councils and actually moved several of them. I believe they've moved 5 of them in response to both advisory committee members and neighbors. All of the locations, we want to emphasize this, all the locations are east of Highway 1, which is actually good news because if they were west of Highway 1, we would have had to start considering views towards the ocean. And one of the reasons why the poles are where they are is that SoCal Gas does have locational criteria where they would have to put poles in order to read the meters in the area. So these locations are specifically picked out. And I do want to also mention that there was some extensive RF, or radio frequency studies done, and of course all of the exposures are well below the federal limit. So each of these dots indicate where one of those poles are going to be located. You'll notice that there's several in the North Coast area, in Cambria, San Simeon, Harmony, a few in Cayucas, and then some scattered around Morro Bay, Los Osos, and one in the community of Avila Beach. Because we don't have that many people in the audience, we're going to cut this a little bit short. This is a slide that right out of their plans. It shows the box, the data collection unit that goes on top, the crossbar, the whip antenna, and then the solar panel that will be sitting up at the top of the pole. And it all looks like this. When you look at it. And I believe, hopefully, Mr. Mahoney might have mentioned to you where you could find some existing. I have one in my neighborhood I discovered after I was assigned this project. I found out what that strange thing, that box is on the top of the pole, right by French Park, in fact, in the city of San Luis. And that's pretty much what it looks like. One of the things that we learned as you look at these locations, as you drive around the communities, is that the world is full of poles. And it's a good thing and it's a bad thing. The good thing is that when you think about it and you look at these locations, they get lost in the background noise of all of the other wooden poles in the area. And in fact, some instances, these are could say more sleek or sleeker than the ones that we see out there that perhaps support transmission transformers and whatnot. So I wanted to just go through just a couple of these locations and show the photo sims of before and after. This is on Bridge Street off East Village of Cambria. On the left, you'll see the existing scene, and the right is where the new pole will be. And you can see, as I said, the world is full of poles with guidelines and power lines and telephone lines. This one is in Cambria Pines Road. If you've ever been up in this area, the Leimert area of Cambria, it's one of the nicer areas of North Coast as far as I'm concerned. And the pole does blend into that background of the pine forest. And those are the two views of that. This is in San Simeon, the one location in San Simeon, east of Highway 1. It's right next to the Motel 6. There aren't any other poles probably within 400 feet of this location. It's one of the reasons why we put it up here. However, as I emphasized, it's east side of Highway 1 and not part of the view towards the ocean. And this was the most interesting one. This is in the village of Harmony. This pole was moved, I believe, a couple of times, and it went from a location out here on Old Creamery Road by itself to a location that's fairly hidden behind the buildings right there, right next to an existing pole. I think this is the last one, on Quintana Road off of Highway 1. There's a little enclave of buildings there along Quintana, which I don't think people notice until you are specifically looking for it. And this is another location where there are multiple wooden poles already, mostly PG&E with transformers. And so that would conclude the staff presentation, and we'll be available for questions. And Southern California Gas representatives are here, and will speak mostly towards their extensive outreach program that they conducted.
Very good. I will now call upon any commissioner questions of staff. Seeing none, we'll go on to an applicant presentation. If you'd come forward, please.
Oh, good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the commission. Tim Mahoney, thank you for being here, and I appreciate the commissioners that I did come into contact with and taking an interest in our proposal. I'm going to go fairly quick here. The reason why we are here is, like many of the investor utilities, we're governed by the Public Utilities Commission, California, and the legislature. Several years ago, they moved us all, the utilities, into a direction of reading the meters wirelessly. So that's what this project is. We're going to read your gas meter and mine wirelessly. In order to do that, we put a new faceplate on the existing gas meter, and then that new faceplate sends a very quick signal to the data collection units, which are before you today, the 21 of those, which we need. We call that the network. So that's pretty much why we're here today, is to move this forward, the project. There are tremendous benefits with this, mostly from the energy efficiency side and the way that customers can then have real-time data to control their gas usage by going online and getting readings. Otherwise, in the old system, you had to wait 30 days to get your bill and then figure out what your gas usage is. So the, a tremendous amount of benefits. With me, I have my whole team here. We did extensive outreach, as you know, went to the community advisory committees, did site walks door to door, and because of that, we were able to work with the folks in the neighborhoods, and as you saw by the slide sims, the poles really do get buried into the background of the existing landscape, if you will. To give you an idea, I think we have in the inland area of San Luis County, I believe we've got about, 30 or 40 of these going in now. I think there's like 7 in the city of San Luis Obispo. They've been there for years. Arroyo Grande, I think, has another 7 in theirs. They've been there for years. So we've been going through the towns and the communities doing this, and now this is kind of our last stop with you. So certainly here to answer any questions, and I'll bring up some other folks that we can talk about the outreach that we did. And I think that's why there's really no one here today, because we have kind of solved the community's problems by going door to door. And the other reason is that, you know, even though, yes, we are in the coastal zone, and yes, these are poles and apparatuses, they're very benign. There's no overhead wires. There's no guidelines to these. It's just a very small, streamlined device, if you will, on a pole that blends in. So I think that's why we're pretty much alone today. So with that, I'm going to ask the rest of the team to come up, and they can introduce themselves and tell you what they did. Thank you.
Good morning, commissioners. My name is Linnea Shields, and I'm the outreach project manager for Southern California Gas Company, specifically for the Advanced Meter Project. So at SoCalGas, we take outreach very seriously, and so we have a dedicated external affairs team to perform a wide range of outreach activities to keep our customers well-informed and completely transparent of this project. As Tim and as James were alluding to, we did extensive outreach for these 21 sites. Some of that outreach include door knocking. We physically went to each residence around the pole location that will be impacted, and we knocked on their door and we spoke to them directly. If we weren't able to reach them, we followed up with a phone call and just ensured that they did receive the notices that we left. If any of those residents did have any of those concerns, we did follow up with them, our construction PM, and we were able to put up what we call a story pole. And that gave them a visual representation of what the installation will look like. If there was any visual concerns, or we were able to, in some instances, move the pole just a little bit to mitigate any of those concerns. James was touching on the Harmony. So for the Harmony location, that was something, you know, it's a little town, the nostalgic of the town. They really wanted to ensure that that was, you know, preserved. So we were able to adjust that site a little bit outside, and that was because of our outreach efforts and working directly with Tom Halen, which is the town manager there. In addition to, you know, working with the residents, we did work extensively with the different advisory committees. So that was not only attending their meetings and keeping them well informed of the project, but it was also going out to the sites with them, showing them the sites, and if they had any of recommendations to move them or where they thought was a better location in their community, we did that. So, I mean, with that, I think it goes to show that there's nobody here for 21 sites. So I'm available for any questions. I have specific slides on outreach if we want to dive into that a little bit deeper. Thank you.
Commissioner.
Thank you. I just had a question if you have did the same level of outreach for the inland sites as well?
Yeah, so since the commencement of this project, we've had extensive outreach. So we do, we create a local stakeholder and community education plan for each community that we're going to go in and install a pole. And then once we get that site location, we kind of look at that site, see what residents are going to be impacted, and then we will visit those sites.
Any further questions of commissioners? As Mr. Mahoney said, the lack of public here to respond is a good sign of what you've done. So we'll continue on with this gentleman. Question. You have a question? Yes. I'm sorry.
Did you already install these on the Pomo Mesa?
On where? I'm sorry?
The Pomo Mesa?
Yes.
I know.
Yes, we have in the Pomo.
Where's the closest one to Taft and the frontage road?
Sir, would you please introduce yourself for the record?
Yes, sorry. My name is Juan Maldonado. I'm the project manager and construction manager, and also work with the construction engineering piece of it. The closest one that I'm familiar with, Napomo, it's on, I'd like to say Stacy Street or something like that, but I could look it up to see where the sites are, and I could give you a better location.
It's okay, thank you.
There's actually one going out to our former one on Highway 1. There's a.
I know where that one's at. I was just wondering if there's any downtown. I didn't see any downtown.
Yeah. I have a question of a technical nature, and having sat here for several years in public hearings about the cell towers, et cetera, and that's back to the radio frequency aspect and study. When that study is made by individuals such as yourself, and I would ask the same question of AT&T or Verizon, do those studies include the additional units of other entities on a cumulative basis when this study is done, or is that study only limited to the RF frequencies of your units?
So we did have our RF study done by a third-party vendor where they did go to each individual site location, and they did the current RF frequency that is being admitted at those sites right now.
By and other people, then? Okay.
That is correct.
Any further questions, comments? I will then open public comment, and I think I know the result. Seeing none, we will close public comment and move on with staff. Do you have any further comments?
No, sir.
Okay. Commissioner Moltari.
Well, I commend the gas company for their outreach. It seems to have been very effective. And with that, I would move approval of, let's see, what's the number, DRC 2016-00122, based on the findings and subject to the conditions recommended by staff.
I'll second that.
It's been moved and seconded. May we have a roll call, please? Madam Secretary.
Commissioner Moltari?
Yes.
Commissioner Harrison?
Yes.
Commissioner Hawkins?
Yes.
Chairman Campbell?
Yes. That motion is carried.
One more comment?
Oh, yes.
Oh, now, this isn't on the motion. I just wanted to thank Mr. Caruso for his many years of service here at the county.
Absolutely.
And wish him good luck and best wishes on your next adventures.
And that goes for all of us, sir.
What a great project to go out on.
Yeah, right.
Yes, thank you. It was a pleasure to work with James as well. Your staff was serves you very well, so much appreciative to all
thank
the staff
you,
there. And Glenn's also been very good to us working with.
I won't
with,
be able so. To try you because I'm on propane, so what can I
well,
say?
Well, hopefully we can fix that someday. We always need new customers. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right.
I'll make a motion that we take all testimony into the record and documentation.
Second.
And moved and seconded to take all into testimony. Those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. That motion is carried.
I move to adjourn.
I second that.
Motion and second to adjourn. Those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. That motion is carried.